Welcome back to the Whippy Public Library's podcast, Story to Discovery. This week we are going to be talking about supernatural reads. So if you don't know already, my name is Kylie. My pronouns are she, her.
My name is Shelby and my pronouns are also she, her.
So yeah, for the horror genre, I went back and I looked at some of my favorite horror books that I've ever read. And one of my favorite horror authors is Shirley Jackson. She wrote The Haunting of Hill House, which we have discussed before on the podcast, and I love that book. It is very different from the Netflix show, though both are excellent, but really the show just took the character names and then went with it. But the original book is fantastic and definitely worth the read. But she's also written several super famous and really important, like, classic horror stories. So you might have read The Lottery. That one is a short story that's like, I can't say anything about it because I don't want to give it away, but it's just, it's a very short, like, I think it's only like 25 pages long. And it's just, what she really focuses on is like character horror. So she talks about like characters and people that are othered from society. And she talks about like the horror that is society, basically. And so that brings me to the book that I want to talk about today, which is We Have Always Lived in the Castle. So this is a fantastic book. It's really, basically, it starts out with this one character, our main character, her name is Mary Cat, and she just says, all of my family is dead, everyone is dead, including my sister. Now let me go back and tell you a story. So then it goes back, and then it's like this whole story about her and her mother and her sister living in this house that's kind of like, they're all sort of ostracized from the main town. And whenever they go in, everyone like acts very weirdly around them. And it's just like, it's just this really excellent building horror of like, they are not accepted by this town and you don't really know why. And they're also very other. And so I first read Shirley Jackson and this book in a class that I took in university that was about ghosts and haunted houses. And it was talking about feminist and queer subtext in horror and how it's like always been a part of horror and how the queer has always been like a site of horror. So Shirley Jackson really dives into that and like, kind of creates these creepy family dynamics and makes that the horror rather than like supernatural forces. And I love a good supernatural read, but I also love like psychological family horror, sociological horror. Like, it's really, really cool. So I highly recommend Shirley Jackson, especially if you liked the show Haunting of Hill House. It's a very similar like psychological like building horror. And I think I've said horror about a million times here, but it's like, it's good horror. Kylie, well, did you read?
I think Kylie just finished watching Haunting of Hill House, right?
Bly Manor, actually.
Oh.
I think Hill House is a little too scary for me, but I went with Bly Manor and it was great.
I feel like Bly Manor is really nice. Not scary though.
More ghosts in Bly Manor than there was in Haunting of Hill House, because you don't see a lot of things. There's a couple jump scares in Haunting of Hill House, but I found that it was more scary for like the context rather than it, because like you're constantly seeing ghosts in Bly Manor and you're like faced with that, like, oh my god, that's a ghost walking down the stairs. So fair. But go ahead, Kylie, what did you read?
Okay, so I went supernatural but not scary. So I've read Moon Cakes, which is a teen graphic novel. It is actually like one of the cutest graphic novels I've ever read. It is about these two teens, Nova, who is a witch, and Tam, who is a werewolf. And they were childhood best friends, and then they kind of lost touch for a while. And then Nova works at her grandmother's bookstore, and she kind of helps like investigate like paranormal happenings around town. And one day there's a report of a werewolf fighting a demon horse in the woods, And so she goes to investigate, and it's Tam. And so she's basically reunited with Tam. They discover that there is this kind of force of evil trying to harm the werewolves in this area, and they need to put a stop to it. It is so cute. It's a kind of like, you know, childhood best friends to lovers thing. Like, there's a really sweet romance. And I just have to show you some of the art. It's just really, really pretty. Okay, that's a good page. It's just, it's gorgeous. It's all these like forests, and there's some great shots of the bookstore as well. If I can, the bookstore, mm-hmm. We love a bookstore. We love books in general. So yeah, it's really great cozy vibes, like a great fall read. I mean, even the cover, it's just adorable. Yeah, it's really fun. It's not too long. I think I got through it pretty quickly as well. Yeah, just like a really sweet, fun graphic novel about witches and werewolves. It's great. Really fun.
And is there going to be another one, or is it just a standalone?
I think it's just a standalone. There is, fun enough, a special edition coming out this year, which I really want to go buy. So
yeah, because it was such a cute story, and you're done so quickly that you're like, I want so much more. Like,
yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, I hope there's more, but I haven't heard anything about it so far. But yeah, it's really, really cute.
I love that one. I think I read it in like an hour one morning in the winter. I was just like curled up under a blanket, and I was like, I love this. It's so cute. Like, it's just so wholesome.
Perfect vibe. It's the perfect, yeah. Like, you get like a nice cup of tea or coffee, and just like on a rainy day, and it's just, oh, it's so cozy. It's a good one. Mm-hmm.
It's a great fall book for sure. Mm-hmm. I also went Supernatural. Okay, so I read The House in the Sterling Sea by TJ Klune. It was really a phenomenal book. Very lighthearted and fun. Like, the minute that I entered into the book, it was just kind of funny. There were little funny things about the place where the main character works, which brings me to the main character. So the whole plot of the book follows Linus Baker, who is a 40-year-old man who lives alone with his cat, Calliope. He has a very quiet life, and he's kind of in a rut, and he's been working in this department for a very long time. In fact, I think he's been there the longest of anybody. And he is working in the Department of Magical Youth. So he is a caseworker who goes to orphanages to make sure that they're up to code, that the kids are like happy where they are. And the one thing that sticks out about him from the beginning, because you enter the book when he's at a case, is that he talks to the children specifically. Like, he'll talk to the orphanage leader, but then he'll go to the kids and be like, can you explain your side of the story? Like, you know, you're not supposed to throw chairs at people because you have the ability to like toss a chair in the air, and you're like a 4-year-old, and they're like, yeah, you're right. Like, I just wanted a cookie. So like, he takes it that next step to like talk to the kids, and the orphanage runner of this one is like, that's so unheard of. Like, typically they just care about what I have to say, and then they leave. Like, they don't really care about the kids. So the magical youths are basically kids from any kind of supernatural background. And eventually, because he's such a good worker, he gets sent on this like super top secret mission to the house in the Cerulean Sea, where he has to basically see all of these super dangerous kids, apparently dangerous. And the minute he walks in, his cat like jumps out of the car and goes running, and he ends up in a garden. So he meets the very first character that you're going to meet there, who apparently is very dangerous. Her name is Talia, and she's a garden gnome. And so he runs into the garden, and it's just the cutest thing in the world, because she just looks like a garden gnome. And then he's like looking for, you know, his cat, and she's like, you wouldn't just walk into anybody's garden, would you? She makes these kind of like funny little jokes about like burying him because he'd make great fertilizer. But she's just like this cute little kid. And then you meet Fee, who is a forest sprite, and you meet Theodore, who is a baby wyvern. And he doesn't have the ability to speak English. He just kind of like squawks, and he's a wyvern. And for those of you who don't know what a wyvern is, it's kind of like a cross between like a dragon, but like smaller. Am I getting that right?
I think they have more legs too, I think.
And yeah. Like, they've really? Got four legs. Yeah. No, Theodore, his hands are his wings, and he's got two legs.
Fewer legs, that's what it is.
Yes, because he, like, waddles around on his hind legs. He's just so cute. They're all so individually adorable. So we've got a wyvern, we've got a garden gnome, a forest sprite, and then we also have, this one's really great. It's a were Pomeranian, and he's actually one of the older boys. And he turns into a Pomeranian when he's frightened or scared. And he comes from, like, a long line of other houses. And this is the last place that he's ended up. So he doesn't really like Lioness because he's very afraid he's going to be removed again. And because the magical youths are all under this one particular government, they're very much so, like, told where to go, when to go. They're taken from their parents a lot of times, like, for instance, like, a wyvern is very rare because wyverns at one point were hunted because they were great to make into shoes, basically. So Theodore is also hidden because they don't want people to find him. And of course, we also have Chauncey, the green blob, who wants to be a bellhop, which is adorable. We have no idea what he is. He's just like a giant green blob. And then finally, which is the best of all, we have Lucy, who is the Antichrist, who is a six-year-old child. So great. Of course, we also have the orphanage runner, which is Arthur Parnassus. It's a very big, like, found family vibe. You're going to go into it. You're going to have fun. It's very light and magical. Lioness, of course, at first is very hesitant. He's kind of afraid of the kids. Of course, when you're met with the fact that you're going to be seeing the Antichrist, you too would kind of be afraid. And then on top of that, like, Lucy also likes to kind of, like, lean into it. So he'll, like, make the room dark and be like, I'm going to eat your souls. And then Arthur will come in and be like, okay, Lucy, that's enough. Go wash up for dinner. And he'll kind of, like, leave. He's just a tiny little boy.
Time for bed.
Yeah. but it's about lots of different things. Obviously, it's about being with a family. It's like living versus existing. So before, you know, Lioness gets there, he's kind of just existing. He's not really doing anything. And then once he gets there, he's like, this is what a family looks like. This is what a home feels like. I want to be a part of this. Then it also kind of looks at safe spaces versus, like, self-isolation, especially with the kids, because the kids come from all these different corners of the globe and have been left behind, or they don't know who their family is and they don't know who they are. But you know that in the end, they're all going to be happy and, like, live together. But I think it's really fun and definitely recommend reading it. It's definitely a happy book to read. So if you're looking for something that's going to, like, give you a little laugh and bring you a little bit of joy, this is definitely the book for you.
Cute. So is that a YA?
No, this is a general fiction, actually.
Okay.
And I've heard a lot of good things. I've heard it pop up several times on different, like, book talks and just, like, groups that I'm in. And everybody seems to love it because it's not necessarily going to give you fall vibes or, like, anything like that. It's going to be more like kind of a beach vacation because they're on an island. But it's supernatural and it's fun. I think that's, you don't get a lot of general fiction that are just meant to be enjoyed and have fun with. They're not really going to be, like, in your face, like, this is the problem. It's kind of, like, there, but you're more or less along for the journey and just to see them all kind of, like, fall in love with each other and become a family, which I love, which is fun for adults too. So please read it.
When you were talking about it, you reminded me a bit of one that I pulled off my own shelf, Miss Peregrine's Home for Peculiar Children. I loved this book when I was a kid, and I found it so interesting because if you don't know about it, the author Ransom Riggs, like, found actual old creepy pictures like this and then, like, wrote a story around the pictures. So, like, he looked at so the cover is a girl floating, so he made her into a character in the book where she just floats. And so then he found all these supposedly supernatural pictures of children and then created stories for them. And it's like a school of kids with peculiar talents. And, like, the pictures are so interesting and cool. Like, the double reflection there. And then, like, they're so
very
creepy.
Scary.
Very scary.
Like, yeah. There's, like, a bog that they have to go through to get into the next, like, world or whatever, right? And terrifying. So it has that, like, side of terror to it. And actually, one of the reviews I was reading, they were talking about that book okay. too, because it's very similar. But I didn't know that the photos were real photos that he like wrote around.
Yeah, he found them all, and like he was just like going to places and like, hey, I found these creepy pictures.
Yeah. And it and like it's an excellent story written around those, but like it's cool to hear that that theme or like that idea of like a home for othered children has been like expanded and like into an adult novel too, because yeah. I find that kind of thing super interesting. And so like that sounds like House in the Cerulean Sea would be a good one.
Yeah, and I like that it's kind of from the caseworker's point of view. Like I love that book as well, but you're getting it from a children's perspective, like them coming in and seeing it, but as an adult and getting to understand like the government side of it too. I think that's the kind of fun part about it, is that you can kind of, maybe your work is kind of mundane and you feel the same way about it, you don't feel as much joy, like, or you just, I like any adult, you get into this routine where you get up, you go to work, you come home, you eat, and you go to sleep. It's kind of gonna like remind you of that, but also kind of give you a sense of family. And I love that about this book. It was just magical, and it's fun to read just like a magical book every once in a while.
Yeah. Ooh, speaking of magical, another book that I read, I don't have it with me, but The X-Hex. It's a witchy rom-com. It's so fun. I just finished reading it. And it's like truly, it is just like a romantic comedy, but they're all witches. The main character, Vivi and Reese, it starts like 10 years before. There's like a prologue, and basically they had like a summer fling, and they break up, and Vivi's like so upset that she like kind of jokingly curses him, her and her cousin. And turns out 10 years later, the curse actually worked, and he comes back to town and like keeps almost dying. Like he almost gets hit by a car, and then like a statue almost falls on him. And she's like, hey, funny story. I cursed you a decade ago and it seems that it worked. So the whole thing is like the curse kind of spreads to the town. Oh, no. And so now there's like their cat starts to talk. And like she wakes up and the cat's just like, hi, treats, please. And like there's these little like they own like a fake witchy shop. Like it just sells like little like toy skulls and stuff. And like the skulls all fall off the shelves one day and start attacking everyone in the store. Yeah, it's great. So the whole town is being affected by this curse now. So they're like, we need to stop this. But it's also like a sweet second chance romance. Which, love those. And it's really, the banter in this was hilarious. Like, they do not get along at first, but also they're still, like, super in love with each other. So, it's really funny.
That actually reminds me of Practical Magic. I didn't know it was a book. I grew up watching the movie with Sandra Bullock and Nicole Kidman. And I actually had a patron come in asking for the second one. I was like, so you're telling me that I can continue on with this story? But it's very similar, but in like a dark way. For those of you who haven't seen or read Practical Magic, they are two sisters who are witches, and they're a long line of witches, but their family is cursed, and that anybody that they fall in love with will pass away. So Sandra Bullock's husband ends up passing away a couple years after they've had their two daughters, who coincidentally look exactly like her and her sister. So one's brunette and one's a redhead. So she ends up moving in with her aunt, and her sister, who is in an abusive relationship, ends up accidentally, I believe, or did they? I can't remember. They might have actually on purpose murdered him because he was abusive. I cannot remember. I would have to go back and look. And they bury him in their rose garden. And then she had made a wish when she was younger that she wanted a certain man to fall in love with, and she blew like the ashes out into her window. Funnily enough, the guy who comes to like investigate the death of her sister's ex-boyfriend is exactly what she had been wishing for the whole time, and they end up falling in love like through the process of the book, which I just think, to me growing up, I always was one of those people who was like, oh, like my perfect somebody is out there, like I'm gonna find them one day, and like you would always like wish. And I love that she finally found like who she needed to be with, in a kind of a second chance romance as well, because she had lost her husband previously. But yeah, I'd be interested to see what the other books are about too. But if we're looking, I'm still on a very like happy, like this is fall and Halloween. We will get into the real horror. But I did start reading The Halloween Moon, which is one of our newer ones. And it's but if you're just looking for a fun, quick read, I think this one might be for you. It's basically about this girl, Esther, who is Jewish, and she has already had her bat mitzvah. So she's technically an adult, and her parents are like, listen, you're an adult, you can't go trick-or-treating anymore. But Esther, like, this is like her thing. Like, she makes 3 costumes, one for school, one for Halloween, and one for a backup just in case it doesn't go her way and she ends up going to the backup. So every year she gets ready to go out for a trick-or-treating and she's like, I am ready. I have all my costumes. Like, Halloween is amazing. And like leading up to this one, you like see her kind of like make her costumes, and then her parents are like, you're not going trick-or-treating, and she loses it. She's like, I have to go trick-or-treating. Like, this is my thing. Like, I need to go trick-or-treating. And I'm like, 13 years old, like, I remember when I was 13, I think I was still trick-or-treating as well, because, like, I didn't want to give up on that, like, it's so much fun. Anywho, she ends up pretending like she's going to go to the movies with her best friend, but really they end up going trick-or-treating, and it turns out there is a Halloween queen, or a queen of Halloween, who has cursed the town to be in perpetual Halloween, and has, like, frozen everybody, except for Esther, her best friend, and I believe the dentist on their street, who she's like mortal enemies with, because she's like, how dare you put toothbrushes out on Halloween? That's not what this is for. And then they kind of go on an adventure to save Halloween and save their town. It just gives me like Halloween Town vibes, and like, you just want to like sit down with like the leaves around you and like in a nice big sweater and read this book.
One's written by Joseph Fink, right? That's yes. The author. Okay, I need to go grab 2 books off my shelf. So Joseph Fink is one of the creators of the podcast Welcome to Night Vale. I don't know if you've listened to it. I don't want it to be in competition with this podcast, but if you are interested in more podcasts other than this one, go listen to Welcome to Night Vale, because it's really weird, and it's a weird like supernatural story that's being told. So it's told from the perspective of what's his name, Cecil. And he is like this radio broadcaster for this tiny town in the desert, and just weird things happen every single time. It's very weird. Lots of weird stuff happens, but it's hard to explain, but it's a great podcast, and it's really, really funny. Like, it's supposed to be funny. And there's a great romance at the heart of it. He's in love with a scientist. And so every time he's talking about the scientist, he's like, Carlos just has the best hair. Carlos and his beautiful hair came to talk to me today. It's like, it's so good. But they wrote books. So there's one, Welcome to Night Vale, and one, It Devours. And they're both very supernatural books, but they're just like really, really well written. Like, these are some of my favorite books. They're really, really funny, great supernatural elements to the story. And like, it's just so creative. Like, they come up with like some great supernatural creatures and events, and it's like that spooky thing, but it's also, they're just having the most fun time like coming up with this stuff. So it sounds like it's the same with the is it called Halloween Moon? Yeah,
they're definitely just having like a fun time in this Halloween atmosphere. And that's what I loved about it, was like, I have not gotten very far into it, but just the vibe of just having fun. One thing I love about horror and this genre is that it's so original a lot of times. Like, people are coming up with the most original stories that scare the bejesus out of you, and you don't necessarily find that in all genres. Like, I know like historical fiction is historical fiction, you have the same kind of vibe every time, don't hate me for that, but you know what I mean. Like, these ones, like, you don't know what you're walking into when you read a supernatural or a horror. You're like, this is someone else's imagination running wild 100%, and that's why I love it so much.
That reminds me of Mexican Gothic, which is yes, so good. But seriously, I don't know what I was anticipating when I went into this, but this was not what I was expecting at all. Like, basically the main character, Noemi, they receive a letter from her cousin basically saying like, come save me. My like in-laws are trying, my husband are trying to kill me. And everyone's like, oh, she like something happened to her mentally. Like, she's unstable. She needs psychiatric help. And so Noemi's like, I don't know, like, I'm gonna go check on her because this is very out of like the norm for her. Arrives at their like giant mansion and discovers that, yeah, there's something kind of creepy going on here, and can't quite put her finger on what it is, but she starts to like hallucinate. And then she's like, am I actually hallucinating, or am I just like forgetting what's happening? And it's spooky. It definitely, I mean, speaking of Hill House and Bly Manor, it, when I was watching Bly Manor, I was like, ooh, this is like Mexican Gothic vibes. So if you like those shows, this is a great one. Yeah, it's spooky, great vibes, really kind of keeps you guessing. It's a good one.
Yeah, and it's another one that's like very much on the super, sorry, not the supernatural, the psychological,
yeah,
horror vibe. Like, you don't know what's real and what isn't, and that's what I loved about Shirley Jackson stuff too, is that, like, you don't know if it's actual ghosts or if it's hallucinations or like what's happening here. Like, is it just the, is it an unreliable narrator, or what's happening? So it's I loved Mexican Gothic. That was like, it was another one that was very much into like weird family dynamics, and like it was like a very old family, and it was also definitely about colonialism, and it was very good. That was a really good one. I like that one.
But well, not to go off on like a different way, but I also brought Truly Devious. Now this one's more of like, there's a murderer on the loose and we don't know who it is, but it goes between 1936 and present day at a boarding school in Vermont for geniuses. But it's not like geniuses in the way that you have to like test to get in, but rather people who are spectacular at what they do. And so nowadays they're like, if you want to get into our school, just send us a note and we'll let you know. And of course, all kids these days, they're like, what? Like, usually there's like requirements. So the main character of this one is Stevie Bell, and she's obsessed with true crime and true crime podcasts. She listens to podcasts, watches TV shows. She wants to be a detective. And funnily enough, like as I was reading, I'm like, she kind of reminds me of Sherlock Holmes in a way. And right away, she's like kind of compared to Sherlock Holmes. But it starts off in 1936 with a little girl who goes to this school back in the day. And there's this cool little area. You're allowed to basically go anywhere around the campus, and there's lots of games. So Ellingham is the name of the manor, and it's Albert Ellingham is the owner, and he loves games. It's like mandatory that everybody plays Monopoly once a week. They have like tournaments. Everybody plays Monopoly. There's always games. So his whole house is kind of like around this idea of having games within games, and he wants the kids to go out and explore. And so she was brought in, Stevie Bell was brought in because she's a fanatic of true crime and she's so amazing at it. And so she comes in, and obviously in 1936, a girl had been exploring the grounds and had come upon this like secret, like basement area, like a bar. You know what I'm talking about? Like a speakeasy, like a speakeasy. Oh. So you would go down there, but then you would like climb up this ladder and you'd actually pop up on a little island in the middle of like a lake or pond thing that's like by the school. And it was like a dome. And so you could like see all the way around you, and she would come there during the day and she would read. She's like, it's the perfect reading place. She'd bring a little blanket and she'd like tuck in and she'd read. And she's there one day and she hears somebody come down in the basement below, and she hides. And she hears the person come upstairs and then says, you can come out now. And so she like opens her eyes, and he's sitting there and he's like talking to her. And she's like, I just have to go. Like, I should really leave. And he's like, you know, I can't let you go. And the last like moment you see with her is her like getting like pushed down the stairs, or like down back into it. So she's one of the people that we're investigating, or Stevie will investigate. And it's just, it gives me such amazing like true crime ideas, but with like a strong female character, but also like flipping back and forth between 1936 and today. It gives me that like, I think a ghost is gonna show up or something. You know what I mean? Like, it's one of those. It's very good so far. The audiobooks for the entire series are on Hoopla as well, and I started listening to them, and it scared the bejesus out of me when you first interact with this, like, murderer or whatever he is or they are, it doesn't say, because they go by Truly Devious. They left behind a riddle, and it was signed Truly Devious, and it gives me very much so, like, detective sleuth vibes, which I was very excited for.
Interesting enough, I have a book that I was going to mention that also is kind of like supernatural investigation sort of thing that I also have not finished yet. But it's called Ninth House by Leigh Bardugo. I would recommend, this one is very, very dark. I would recommend if you're going to read it, maybe like looking up some reviews first, make sure it's not anything too dark for you, because I truly did not know what I was getting into. And it's, I got to read it in like small doses. But basically it follows this woman named Alex. Her full name is Galaxy, Alex for short. Very interesting name. And she can see ghosts, and in this kind of world they call ghosts grays, and that's not a normal thing. Normally you would need like a magic elixir to see ghosts, but she can just do it. She just looks and is like, oh look, a ghost. So she is recruited to this secret society at Yale called Lethe. And essentially Lethe is like the governing body of the other secret societies at Yale, who all kind of dabble in like various types of the occult. It's like there's a lot of gore and there's a lot of like creepy magic. Like one of the first things you see is like this weird, it's not like an autopsy, but it's like creepy magic surgery. But it seems like it's going into the vein of like magical murder investigation, because there's a body found and Alex is kind of trying to investigate it, and people keep telling her, oh, just leave it, like we'll get somebody else to cover it, you don't have to worry about it. And she's like, I feel like now I should. And now she's being kind of like targeted by ghosts. So I'm thinking it's going magical murder investigation. It's very interesting. I'm reading the audiobook too, and it's also on Hoopla. Narrator is great. There's two narrators, but they're both great. But yeah, it's really creepy, and it's really, really dark, darker than I thought it would be. But I'm intrigued. I need to find out where it's going.
Can she talk to the ghosts, or she can just see them?
She can. Also, in this world, ghosts are not supposed to be able to like contact you or like manipulate the current world unless they're like really, really powerful. But she keeps running into ghosts who can like attack her. So yeah, there's something going on with Alex Stern and the ghosts. So yeah, it's creepy. It's very not necessarily like Halloween fall, but it's definitely supernatural, definitely creepy.
Well, it sounds really interesting. Like that to me sounds like the occult, Yale, like I feel like it feeds into conspiracy theories a little bit.
Oh, definitely.
Which
definitely.
Like I am a huge conspiracy theory nut. Like I love reading them. I think they're all so amazing because I feel like you don't know if they're true or not, you know? And there's no way to really find out, because if they are secret, they're going to remain secret. But I like that. And I like that it's also, I love her name. That's so interesting.
Yeah. Yeah. It's cool. It's also kind of like unreliable narrator thing, because it keeps flipping back and forth in time. And there's another narrator of a character named Darlington, who all of his stuff is like at least a few months in the past. But in the present day, he's like, we don't know where he is. So it's like, what is happening here?
That's concerning.
It's very, it's very confusing, but it's very creepy.
So I guess we all read books where it's like going back and forth between two different time periods, because I was going to talk about one today called Plain Bad Heroines, which I just finished reading. I loved the premise. So the premise is, the story starts in 1902 at this girls' school in New England called Brookhaunts. And two girls get murdered by bees. Well, it's actually yellow jackets.
Oh my God.
And then all you and then all you know is that like a few more people die at the school, and then the school is shut down. And now in the present day, they're making a movie about this girls' school, and they're filming it at the location. And so then you're following the actresses that are going to be in the movie, and you're following the author who wrote the book about the school that is being made into the movie, and you're following also the people that were involved in the original happenings at Brooke Haunts. So oh, it's switching back and forth. I know, it's a lot. Like, you follow a lot of different characters. So you're switching back and forth. It's all the same narrator, but like you switch who you're following in each chapter. And then that was my main problem with the book, is that I did not like the way the narrator was. Like, they were just kind of inserting their own thoughts all the time on certain things. So they'd be like, they address the whole thing to the readers. So they'd be like, well, now, dear readers, I know you're curious about what's happening here, but I'm going to tell you about what's happening over here. And that just annoyed me personally. But I know some people like that. But it was really cool because you could get the whole story from flipping back and forth from present day, like 2016, I think it was supposed to be, and then back in 1902. And it was like, kind of, there were some romance elements, and it was really creepy. Like, the horror elements were really well done. So in the present day, everyone was kind of being plagued by yellow jackets. So like, people would just like be putting on their coat, and then they'd find a yellow jacket in their jacket. Ooh. And it would sting them, right? And you'd be like, ah, where did that come from? And one character like was doing dishes, and then she leaves, and then she comes back, and her entire sink is just like filled with dead yellow jackets. And it's like, oh, that's so creepy. Wow. Like, mm-hmm. It's so, there's some really good horror, like creepy gothic elements, and it really read like a classic gothic novel, which I loved. Like, same with Mexican gothic, like those mm-hmm. creepy motifs, like I love that stuff. But I also love the books that are written nowadays that like are flipping back and forth between the present day and the history, because I feel like that's a great way to get historical fiction. I know we've mm-hmm. talked about this in the historical fiction episode, but like, I feel like that's a good way to like keep it intriguing rather than just like it all being set back in that time, you know?
And to see how it's changed too, because you and I read one at boarding school, and Kylie's at Yale. So that's kind of funny that all three of us have now created this trifecta to see like how it was in 1936 in my case, and coming back to present day, and like what that then looks like, and how it's kind of changed or evolved or maybe shut down or something like that, to like still be on the site. I think it's so infinitely interesting and fun to see like how people have changed. And although the site's obviously the same, like the people are different, and the way that we interact with each other is different too. I like that. I think that's so funny that all three of us read something very similar.
Yeah. I mean, apparently schools are a great place to set creepy books.
Well, I mean, we all know that nobody's happy while they're there, so.
And especially boarding schools. Like, weird stuff happens at boarding schools. Like, people will, you know.
You don't just leave kids alone to run free. I'm actually reading, this is not horror specifically, it's thriller, but I'm reading Lisa Jewell's newest book, which is The Night She Disappeared, which funnily enough actually kind of coincides a little bit with this Gabby Petito case that's going on right now. Not that we usually talk about current events, but for those of you who are out there who know, she was a 22-year-old who recently passed away on a trip with her partner, and now he is also missing. Look a little bit into it, because there's a lot going on, and maybe in October we'll finally have figured out some things going on there. But the Lisa Jewell one, the main character, it flips between the mom who her teenage daughter went missing with her boyfriend, which was in 2017, and in 2018, the girlfriend of the newest headmaster of a boarding school in the area. She lives in a little cottage with him, and she ends up going and meeting some people, and they're like, oh, you know, like, don't go into the woods because you'll get lost. teenagers always trying to go out there because there's a house that's been abandoned that has a pool, but then they can't make their way back out, and so we have to call the police. And so she's like, interesting. And she writes detective novels, so she's like, I'm definitely going there. So she's like looking around her cottage, she grabs her compass and she decides to walk out her back gate and go into the woods. And as she's walking out, she sees a little sign. It's a cardboard sign that's nailed to her fence post. It says "dig here" with an arrow. And so she like, oh, maybe that's from like something this summer, like it's a scavenger hunt, whatever, like I'll leave it. So she goes into the forest, she ends up at this big, huge manor, this beautiful house that has like all of this history about it. And she kind of looks around and then she leaves and she's kind of just like digging around in this kind of mystery. But yeah, boarding schools, you never really know. You leave all these kids alone or like with some adult supervision. But it really, it's like the kids are typically between like 18 and 22-ish. I know those aren't really kids. They're like young adults or adults at this point. But you're still figuring things out a lot of the time, right? And it's just, it's an interesting look at it, at this like age group and the ones who are adult, but also like not and wanting to go in between those. It's interesting so far, and I'm very interested to see what happens to her. Lisa Jewell is famous for having very hard endings. The last one that I read by her was "And Then She Was Gone," I believe, and that one had a very, very hard ending to witness. For those of you who don't read Lisa Jewell, I wouldn't necessarily start off with that one because it's kind of hard, but we're not talking about mystery today, although I'd love to. But yeah, that was my other one that I was reading. It's by a boarding school.
But I feel like mystery, it ties into spooky month. Like, you can have really spooky, dark mysteries. I mean, like, I was just reminded you were talking about, like, digging in the forest and, like, creepy forest vibes. And, like, I read Ruth Ware's In a Dark, Dark Wood. And that's a really good one. I really, really like that one. I'm a big fan of Ruth Ware. I know she's not for some people. But I really, In a Dark, Dark Wood was my first one that I read by her. And it's like, it's this main character is at a bachelorette party that's taking place in the woods. And it's like a weekend long bachelorette party, I think, or maybe like 4 days or something like that, where they're all just in a cabin in the woods together. And as it goes on and they're like trapped together in this cabin, you realize that there's like weird histories between her and a few of the other women there, and like there's, and then like murders start to happen, and it's a really good one. It's good, like, it, if you want to read one that makes you feel kind of claustrophobic, like one of those like locked room mysteries a little bit, like I like those ones. And the forest stuff, that's a great fall read if you're looking for something spooky. Throwing in that recommendation.
There are so many great spooky books though, but it all depends on kind of like what you're looking for, because there's a very difference between supernatural versus, you know, horror versus thriller versus, you know, all the other kind of different kind of things that branch off. Like if you're into more Stephen King, that's like a whole different area of horror that's very much so, I'd say, supernatural. His old stuff is very supernatural. Mm-hmm. And then nowadays it's kind of more speaking on society. Like I read The Institute when it came out, I believe in 2019. And that one was like all kind of kids that have the ability to have superpowers in some way. But then they like suck the life out of these kids. And I can't remember exactly as to why. It was a very long book. Stephen King is, you know, famous for that. I'm attempting to read it right now, but it's so massive. I love the movies. I absolutely adore them, but there's something about kids in horror that just kind of hurts sometimes. You're like, either it's like Scooby-Doo vibes where you're like gonna find a mystery and like solve it, and not like you're in mortal danger and you're a small child. Like there are a lot of like really hard themes in The Institute. But yeah, old Stephen King, if you're looking for a good spooky, scary the bejesus out of you, like I would definitely be like The Shining got me. The movie, I was not afraid of the movie. The book, oh my goodness, the book, there's this one specific scene where like the hedges come alive and they're all like cut to be animals. oh, it was scary. I was very afraid. I like would look at hedges later and be like, you're not gonna move, are you?
Where you are.
There are so many different vibes that you're gonna get from horror and supernatural, that kind of range from like fun and lighthearted to I can't sleep at night.
Yeah.
And yeah, and I am a big fan of the ones in the middle. Like, I'm a big fan of the ones that are like hinting at supernatural, or it's just like weird, like unsettling. Like, I really like the, like a lot of classics, you know. Yes. Like, I love Frankenstein. I love, you know, this one's kind of a silly example because it was a satire, but Jane Austen's Northanger Abbey is a great one because it's like kind of supernatural, and it's supposed to be like, she's, you know, she's really afraid of this house that she moves into because she thinks it's haunted, and she thinks there's something weird going on with the family, and it's like, it was a joke about gothic horror and gothic fiction, but it actually is kind of creepy and a little bit unsettling, and it's really enjoyable. And so like that one, even Jane Eyre has like a supernatural element to it. Like, I love those ones, you know. You were gonna bring up Jane Eyre,
what's going on. It's kind of just like hinted at, and you're never really fully like pushed at you. So you only have your imagination to really drive that fear. And when your imagination has the ability to just kind of run wild, it's going to run wild, right? So Jane Eyre, I have an English degree. I spent a lot of time reading the classics. I do not love them. I'm not going to lie. I find them very boring most of the time. I don't like to sit there and have to think sometimes when I read, but Jane Eyre, from the beginning, I was like, you have my heart forever. Like, I really adored it. So that's a good one to bring up. It's a fun one. Always love
it. And it's spooky, and it's a great fall book. Like, it's a perfect fall book. It's, you know, creepy manor, like that whole period where she's just like walking through the heath, and it's like, you know, all like creepy, brambly. I don't know. It's a great gothic book.
It is. And we actually have the abridged version of the audiobook. So if you're looking for, I swear I see unabridged all the time, but I hardly ever see abridged. So if you're looking for like a shorter version of Jane Eyre, like you want to get the idea, you can't tell, because I by accident listened to the abridged version of the audiobook. And then afterwards I was like, oh, I think I read the wrong thing. So we have it if you're looking, because it is like, if you don't want to have to like read this big massive long thing, but you're driving to work every day, you just got like a CD player, unless you're fancy and you have a new car that doesn't have CD players anymore, because apparently that's a thing, then go for Hoopla. But yeah, we have those kind of things. And honestly, audiobooks are the way to go, especially with horror, where you have to like listen to the spookiness. Sometimes if they're real fancy, they'll add like a little bit of music, or like the way their voices are, kind of get the ambiance of the deal.
I'm gonna say, Kate, speaking of spooky stuff, tell us about your spooky program.
Oh yes, so this month I think it's October on October 28th, I will be posting a video that is going to be called Whitby's Most Haunted, and I'm going to be taking a look at some of Whitby's haunted locations, and there are some really cool historical spots in Whitby that have a darker past. I'm going to be talking about places like the Station Gallery, where it has been notoriously haunted by a man by the name of Billy Stone, who worked as a ticket seller at the railway station. And Billy Stone apparently still haunts the Station Gallery. And so that's a very old building, really cool story there. I'm going to be talking a little bit about the Devil's Den, which is a spot between Brooklyn and Whitby. And there used to be a ghost railway there where only empty trains would go on this railway. That's why they called it a ghost railway. And so we're not sure if any real ghosts walked those rails. But yeah, Whitby has a darker history than you think. So watch out for that later this month. I'm going to be just taking you on a tour of haunted Whitby places.
Ooh, creepy. And on a less spooky, but still fall vibe, I'm going to be posting a Maker Lab video. It's a family Maker Lab. So if you want a fun family activity, we're going to be making salt crystal leaves. So a nice little fall decoration. It's a little bit of a science experiment, a little bit of like a family activity. So that will be going up on October 9th. on our YouTube channel.
We also have a fall adventure walk happening in October. Yay. It will be posted on October the 15th, I believe, the Friday. I'm going to be going to a national park or a provincial park near us that you can actually get access to free parking with our Cloaca and Ontario Parks passes that you can get from us at the library. So please check those out. And you can follow me on a fun walk through the woods. So we're going to do a little bit of a scavenger hunt and maybe some other cool activities. And that will be a pre-recorded program on our YouTube channel. So definitely check that out as well. And I want to thank you guys so much for hanging out with us again this October. We're so happy to bring you some great spooky reads. And of course, I implore you to please check out our library to go bundles. We have them for adults and for children. So if you're looking to grab a ton of books all at once, I know right now the Brooklyn and Roslyn branches are closed at 5 o'clock, which is a hard thing for some parents and people who are working to come in and grab their materials before we close. So definitely check out those bundles because we can get them all ready for you and have them right at the front. So check that out. And of course, we always post the entire list of all the books that we mention in our podcast on our list. And of course, we have those for all of our podcasts that we've ever made. We are coming up on 1 year in January, so I'm very excited. Yeah. For all of us. We also have the fall reading program happening on October 1st. So we've already had a couple of weeks, so make sure to check out the fall reading program as well. Make sure to follow us on social media at Whippy Library, and don't forget to check out our TikTok as well. The lovely Erin and Jess over at Central are in charge of that, and they're doing a wonderful job. And of course, check back in November for our next one, which I believe is going to be nonfiction, which I know, so out of the ordinary for us. We're very excited about it. And of course, if you guys are listening and you ever want to drop in and talk to us, we would love to hear from you as well. Don't forget, we have an email that's attached to all of our videos, so you can send us, even if you're just to say hi, like, I listen, I'm out here, or even just to ask us to review something. We're always there for you for that too. We would love to hear from you guys. Even tag us on social media to say that you're reading one of the books that we picked, because we do notice if you're reading them. Sometimes if you have a bunch of them on hold, we kind of do like a shelf audit every month where we go through. So we did recently see that a bunch of people, or somebody had like a bunch of our books on hold that were from a podcast. So if that was you, we were so happy to see that. And it makes us so happy that you guys are checking out our books. Like, you can see Kate's face. Like, that is how excited we are.
We are very easily pleased. Like, as soon as I see someone checking out something that was mentioned in the podcast, I'm like, oh, they're our fans. So yeah.
We love getting to do this program for you guys, and we love getting to see that you guys are listening and picking up the books that we recommended. So never feel scared to come up and talk to us about it. We are all Chatty Cathys, and we'll love to talk to you. So thank you guys so much for sticking with us for the past year. Even if you just listened to one episode, we are so happy to have you, and we will see you next month. Okay, bye.
Bye. Bye.